It's good to be with all of you this evening, and what a wonderful sound that we were all able to participate in, but more importantly, the words that we sang and how I hope they were edifying and uplifting to all of you as much as they were to me. For invitation song, Dave, did you have the invitation song number?
319.
If you would mark your songbooks to that after this short lesson, we'll have an invitation song after that, and then... So I had the opportunity to present a lesson at Midwest Summer Camp, and the title of the lesson is How We Love Others. And I'd like to, though it was presented to young men, I think there is some value that we can gain from it here together as a congregation. Not to mention that it was presented to those young men in an amphitheater outdoors in 90-degree weather through a bullhorn. So I'm pretty sure about half of them were live-action role-playing the role of Eutychus. So it was pretty hot. But I'm glad to be in air conditioning to be able to talk to you all this evening. So I taught... last quarter in the adult class, and I maybe mentioned a little bit about my father and how he had passed about a year and a month or two ago from today. And I talked a little bit about kind of his story, which I feel like it's really intriguing, and I hope that maybe you can gain a little bit from them, and then we can also make some application about how we can be of the same mind in the same way. And it's the way that my father was converted. So, he was taught the gospel in the Navy, and I probably mentioned this before, in the 1970s, and he had been searching for a while, and at that time he was a member of the Catholic Church, and something seemed wrong. They were practicing things and doing things that he couldn't find in Scripture today, and he was searching. So during lunch, while on a naval ship, the USS Saratoga, he saw a man by the name of Pat Green reading his Bible. My father wanted to immediately go up and ask him questions about God, about God's Word, but he decided to wait. He wanted to watch him. He wanted to see if this man was like most sailors, cussing, smoking, drinking. But as it turns out, this man was different. He was a Christian and a member of the Church of Christ. This man assisted my father in becoming a Christian by bringing him to a gospel preacher by the name of Jack Gibbard. It was Jack that taught my father the gospel, and it was Jack that baptized him into Christ, and not long after that, my mother. So shortly after leaving the Navy, my father decided to become a gospel preacher. He went on to preach and teach the gospel to a number of different places, a number of different states, and a number of different countries, and helped bring a great number of people to the gospel, though he would probably blush at me saying that. But he's not here to stop me from saying it, so I'll say it anyway. How thankful I am that someone loved him enough, that loved my parents enough to teach them the gospel. And how thankful I am to have Christian parents that were able to teach me that same gospel. And I encourage and just am how thankful that you young kids that are here today, how blessed you are to have Christian parents that can guide you in the ways of the truth and teach you about Christ as my parents taught me. So let's make some application from this little story. I thought it was pretty interesting. So the title of the lesson is How We Love Others. Well, the basic gist is the most and best way that we could love others is by teaching them the gospel of Christ. And, you know, maybe you're thinking if you're one of the young ones here, you're like, I'm just a kid. How can I do that? Well, there's a number of individuals in this story that all had a great deal of help in bringing my father to the gospel. And there's a number of roles that we all can play in whatever stage of life we are in. So maybe not all of us are a Jack Gibbard, who was the man who preached and taught my father the gospel. But there are some of us that could maybe be a Pat Green. You know, Pat Green was, you remember what he was doing at lunchtime. He was simply reading his Bible. Reading his Bible. Caused someone to notice, to take notice. And another thing that Pat was doing was he was acting differently than those around him. And also, one thing that Pat did was he brought my father to somebody that could teach him the gospel. So you're probably already thinking of someone in mind. And before we get to that someone, I'd like to talk a little bit about Jack here for just a moment. So Jack was the one who taught my father the gospel and baptized him into Christ, as well as my mother. And so I understand that maybe not everyone has that capability. You know, we all have our various talents and different capabilities, but there are a lot of different things that we can do in our own way, and I hope that story kind of showed you in that. And so, like, for a biblical example of what we might say Jack Gibbard was perhaps the Apostle Peter. You know, the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, you know, on the day of Pentecost, let's turn there here quickly. He took advantage of the opportunity that was before him, and he had the opportunity. He preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, and I'm pretty sure he didn't have any idea the amount of impact that sermon was going to have on the group there, though I'm sure he hoped that it would have a great one. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Men of Israel," and this is Peter speaking, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, and as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." And then skipping on down to verse 37, you know, this is basically Peter telling a group of individuals that they were the ones that in fact crucified the Messiah. And this same impact that is going to happen to them needs to happen to us all as the gospel is taught to us. And it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So that's one way that, so with that being said, so we have this idea of Peter and the impact that he had on him. And I don't think Jack would ever claim to be the Apostle Peter, but Jack in his own way did those same exact things that he did on that day when teaching my father. And so let's talk about another one, because maybe we're not all that Jack. Maybe we can't be him, or maybe we're not there in our lives. Well, remember Pat Green and everything that he did and how he acted differently reminded me of an individual by the name of Andrew. The Apostle Andrew is someone that I believe we all can be. And first, in John chapter 1, verse 40 and 42, it says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter." So what did Andrew do in that specific situation? Well, first and foremost, He recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, and he brought his brother, Peter, to see Jesus. Kind of reminds me a little bit about what Pat did, and maybe he didn't have the full capability of teaching the gospel to an individual, so he brought him to someone who could. There's all different things that we can do as Christians in this world to teach others about Jesus. So another thought, thing that we can do is in helping bring others to Christ is by creating long-lasting relationships with those in this room here tonight. Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians who have a mutual desire to serve Christ and then work together to serve the Lord, all while loving others enough to bring them the gospel. And that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 18. You know, in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, during the end of Paul's second missionary journey, Paul finds himself in Greece, separated from his preaching companions, Silas and Timothy. He travels to the city of Corinth and begins making tents in order to help support his preaching effort, his preaching efforts there. And at Corinth, Paul is able to meet an incredible Christian couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. And it's Aquila and Priscilla that he makes this long-lasting relationship with. We even see this friendship in that he mentions Aquila and Priscilla often in his letters. He does in Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, and even 2 Timothy 4, verses 19. And so it's Paul's friendship with Aquila and Priscilla is rooted in their mutual desire to serve Christ and appears to remain so until throughout Paul's life. And Paul gained strength from his Christian friends. And wouldn't you know, Aquila and Priscilla went on to teach another man named Apollos the gospel of Christ more clearly, because he knew only Jesus but didn't know, he only knew the baptism of John and not that of the baptism through Christ. And so you never know the type of impact that you're going to have on individuals. And one thing that we know about Apollos is in Acts chapter 18, picking up in verse 24, it says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures, and he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." And picking up in verse 27, it says, "And when he wished to come across to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scripture that the Christ was Jesus." Maybe you're still thinking, well, if I can't be a Peter or a Jack, how can I be an Apollos? He was this eloquent man. Maybe you can be a Priscilla and Aquila who strengthened Paul and encouraged others. Or maybe you can be an Andrew who simply was bringing others to Jesus. We all have our parts to play, and you never know the type of impact you can have on somebody by talking to them about Christ. I want to end with another story about my dad that I think you might find interesting. So let's fast forward to 1998. I know it may seem a long time ago for some of those, but not so long ago for those of us a little older. My brother was in his last year at Florida College, and there happened to be, in Florida, an administrator that worked there by the name of John Kempen. This man approached my brother at the end of the school year and wanted him to sign his yearbook. My brother was confused. He was like, "You want me to sign your yearbook? I really haven't had any interaction with you at all." And he wanted to know why. And John said, "Because your dad taught me the gospel while I was in the Navy, and because of him, I'm a Christian. My wife is a Christian, and my children are Christians." You know, I too met John the year after, a few years after that, when I attended, and he came and told me that same story. He didn't ask me to sign his yearbook. I'm not bitter about it or anything, but he didn't ask me to sign it. It's fine. But he did want to joyously tell me the story of a time someone loved him enough to teach him the gospel. My brother and I were just kids. We didn't have anything to do with John's conversion. But still, the man loved us because there was love shown to him. A year later, John died of a heart attack. And there was sadness. But his family was sad, and, you know, we were sad to hear of this sudden news. But we knew that we would see him again because John was a faithful Christian. I'd like to close with a final verse, 1 John chapter 14 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." That's a powerful verse if you want to think about it. All the love that was showed us through Jesus, the hope that we have through him, him dying for us and giving us that hope. And that love is steadfast, and it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. You know, Lamentations 3:22, and I said that was the last verse, but the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You know, perhaps you're here this evening and you haven't put on Christ in baptism. You haven't become a Christian. We have this opportunity set before us today, but there are some steps that you have to take in order to do that. Well, for one thing, you have to hear God's word, as it tells us in Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then in John chapter 8 and verse 24, we have to believe what we hear. Paraphrasing, it says, "Unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins." Unless you, I don't want to paraphrase that because I, John chapter 8 verse 24. John chapter 8, verse 24. "I told you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Then after that, we must confess Jesus as Lord, as mentioned in Romans 10:9. And then, as we read in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then lastly, in Revelation 2:10, live faithful unto death. Perhaps you're here tonight and someone loved you enough to teach you the gospel, but you've turned away from the truth. We have this opportunity set aside for you to come back to the Lord. Repent also. Come, you can come to the front. We'll gladly pray for you and assist anyone at this time as we stand and sing the invitation song.